Bhajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Jayom Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Padaprajat, Acharya Asutara Satoshri Shimad, Iskan BBT Founder, Acharya Zavayan Grace, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitya Lila Pravishta, Om Vishnu Pad, Zavayan Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premsa Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Dittananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shama Kunda. Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrajamubha Nabhadam Ki Jai. Shri Nabhadu Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Nalachal Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. The most beautiful Lordship Shri Shukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Shri Shukmini Dwarkanath Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Samabeta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Going back to home, back to Godhead Ki Jai. ISKCON, Los Angeles, Yatra Ki Jai. Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. International Food for Life, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Nittai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Sura Prabhu Tirubhav Festival Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Glory Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasatim Yasam Tato Jayamatirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Prayeshu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatittama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the first verse of the 10th chapter doesn't have any purport. I'll read that one myself, and then we'll do the verse number 2 responsibly. Since today is Sura's disappearance festival, we're going to keep the Bhagavatam class a little on the short side, and then I'll turn it over to Subhas, who was Sura's longtime compatriot, and he will conduct remembrances of Sura Prabhu, and then after that, there will be a nice breakfast in his honor. So, first verse, I'll do by myself. Viduro vacha antarite bhagavati brahma loka pitamaha prajak sasarja katida dahikir manasir vibhu. Translation. Sri Vidura said, O great sage, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind, after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 2. Yay. Cha. Me. Bhagavan. Prishtas. Twai. Artha. Bahuvittama. Tan. Vadasvanu. Purveyena. Padasvanu purvyena jindi naha sarvasangshayan yechame bhagavan prishtas twayartha bahuvittama tanvadasvanu purvyena Chindinak sarvasangshayan Yechame Bhagavan Prishtas Twayartha Bahuvittama Tanvarasvana Purvyena Chindinak sarvasangshayan Yechame Bhagavan Prishtas Twayartha bahuvittama tanvarasvanu purvyena chindinak sarvasangshayan. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Okay, synonyms. Yay. All those. Cha. Also. May. By me. Bhagavan. O powerful one. Prishtaha. Inquired. Twayi. Unto you. Artaha. Purpose. Bahuvitama. O greatly learned one. Tan. All of them. Vadasva. Kindly describe. Anupurvyena. From beginning to end. Chindi. Kindly eradicate. Naha. My. Sarva. All. Sangshayan. Doubts. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Please repeat. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vidura asked all relevant questions of Maitreya because he knew well that Maitreya was the right person to reply to all the points of his inquiries. One must be confident about the qualifications of his teacher. One should not approach a layman for replies to specific spiritual inquiries. Such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teacher, are a program for wasting time. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschacha Deshtarine Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Sapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvaita Ganadhara Shivasana Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So of the three brothers in the Mahabharata story in which Vidura is related, we know there was Dhritarashtra who was born blind because his mother closed her eyes when she was approached by Vyasadeva. Then the second one was Pandu. He was born pale because the mother blanched when Vyasadeva approached her. And then the third one, this Vidura, his mother was actually the maidservant of the woman who was supposed to have united with Vyasadeva, but she just couldn't. So she sent her maidservant, who served Vyasadeva very nicely. Welcomed him and like that. Now, why was everybody so, you know, Vyasadeva was a sage living in the Himalayas, matted hair, long beard, and not necessarily, you know, most, I wouldn't say unkempt. Sages in the forest, they were clean, but not, you know, GQ, not wearing a nice suit and tie and, you know, smelling of the latest, you know, deodorant and stuff like that. No. So they were a little bit aghast. After all, they were princesses, the three sisters. They were living in the palace, had maidservants and manservants and whatever they wanted. So women like that don't necessarily associate with, you know, anything less than the best. So they were a little bit uptight. But Vidura's mother, so of the three, Vidura was considered not exactly of the royal order because his mother was a maidservant. But we see that he had the most dedicated and devotional heart. Now, one can say, why would Vidura have any doubts? You know, but doubts arise for everyone. And sometimes Krishna deliberately puts his devotees in that situation, like with Arjuna in relation to the Bhagavad Gita, which we're going to hear the entire Gita tomorrow. Everybody should come, beginning at noon. Not, again, very often that, I'm sure I don't very often recite the entire Bhagavad Gita. So it's an opportunity to sit down with like-minded individuals, devotees and hear the entire Bhagavad Gita from first chapter to the 18th, end of the 18th chapter. So Arjuna was deliberately put into that situation so that Krishna could speak the Bhagavad Gita. But even advanced devotees sometimes have doubt. Prabhupada himself admitted that when he was a new devotee in the Gaudiya Math, he was in the courtyard and his Guru Maharaj was up on the second floor of the mat, and he yelled out, "Kill him!" Prabhupada, "Kill what? Kill him!" His huge cobra was approaching Prabhupada. So Bhaktisiddhanta was telling one of the brahmacharis, "Kill him!" So the brahmachari killed the snake. So Prabhupada said he had some doubt that my Guru Maharaj is a topmost devotee of the Lord, the most kind-hearted person. Why would he order this living entity to be killed? So he had that down in his mind. He told us. He said, but when I came to this verse in the seventh canto, this is in after Hiranyakashipu had been killed by Lord Nrisingadev, Prahlad was pushed forward to offer prayers. And he said, Tadyasya manim asuras chahatas tvayadya modeta sadhu api vrishchika sarpahatya. So Prabhupada recited that verse. He said, this verse cleared up my doubt. Because the verse says, Prahlad is saying to Nrisingadev that, Tvadyasya manim asuras chahatas tvayadya. This, now that this demon, this great asura, has been killed by you, modeta sadhu api vrishchika sarpahatya. All saintly persons are happy. Because somebody may say, well, why are you happy? Your father was killed. Modeta sadhu api vrishchika sarpahatya. Any sadhu is happy when envious living entity, like gives the two examples, Vrishchik, the scorpion, and Sarpa, the snake. And why are these two singled out? Because without any provocation, they will bite you. Without any provocation. It happened to me. I was a child with some friends playing, and out of the grass, it was dusk, so we couldn't see clearly. This scorpion came out and stung me. Fortunately, it wasn't one of those deadly ones where you die within a few minutes, but it hurt. No provocation. We were just kids playing, and the scorpion came out. Same thing with the snake. A snake, you don't have to step on him or just come close. And again, I had experience of that several times. In these mountains, I used to hike regularly, Santa Monica Mountains. There are lots of rattlesnakes there. Be careful. I've had several encounters. So once I was walking with some devotees, and one devotee went by, and I was right behind him, and this huge Pacific rattlesnake came out. And you could see he wanted to bite one of us. He couldn't figure out, do I bite this guy who just went by me, or do I bite the one who's coming? He was like, and then he just, and just crossed the path and went away. Big snake. It wasn't just like some little rattlesnake. So this is the reason why Prabhupada had that doubt, and the doubt was cleared up by this particular verse, that even sadhus, even great saintly persons, are delighted. They're not having a big festival about it, but, you know, when some envious living entity. But in Kali Yuga, everyone is envious. And there's another verse. We know there's a verse for everything. There's a verse that says that there are two envious living entities, the envious snake and the envious human being. But the envious snake can be controlled by herbs and mantras, but an envious human being you cannot control by any means. So more dangerous. So human beings, when we come to this human form of life, as we were discussing last night, human means, Prabhupada said, definition of a human being is always wants to do good for others. And an animalistic person always wants to exploit others. That's the difference between a human being and an animalistic human. The human being with real human mentality always wants to do good for others. What can I do good for my neighbors, for my family, for the whole world? Like that. But we're all teeny. Even if we have this mentality of wanting to do good, what can we do good? What do we know? What's good for one and what's good, not good? So we need guidance at every moment. The example Prabhupada gave was of two brothers. The older brother, because he was eating too many sweets, he got boils, painful boils on his body. So the parents said, no more sweets. The mother told him, no more sweets until your boils go away. But he was addicted. He was craving. So he asked his younger brother, give me some sweets. And the younger brother said, no, mommy said no. No, give me some sweets. So he capitulated. He went, gave the older brother some sweets. And the condition got worse. So the mother chastised the child. I said no sweets. Don't. But he asked me. He begged me. Like that. So we think we're doing good for each other. Right? Many people out there, somebody's down, they're a little bit, you know, under the weather, whatever. And the friend says, hey, come on, let me cheer you up. Come with me, let's go to the bar and have a drink. So he thinks he's doing something nice for him, but he's actually dragging him down. It's sinful. So we have to be educated what to do, what not to do. Yama and niyama. This is the beginning of any kind of yoga. You have to know what you should do and what you should avoid doing. If you don't have that basic understanding, then how are you going to go forward? How are you going to make any progress? So, Vidura here is acting like the student, intelligent student, and he's approaching, as is stated here, a qualified spiritual master, qualified guru. And in every endeavor, guru is required. Again, I've said this many times, in modern mentality, we're miseducated. Just give me the basics and I'll figure it out. You see? I just want to know the basics and then I'll figure it out. And why do we want to figure it out? So we can be glorified. Yes. There have been so many programmers, but he's the best programmer. He figured it out. No reference to all the persons who went before. Don't give them any credit. Give me the credit. You see? Most of us were using computers, but we have no clue how computers really work. We have no clue. Because you can keep going down and down. There's high-level language and lower-level languages. Then there's machine code. You can keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. But we don't like to give credit to those who designed the very first chips and figured out the machine code, machine language. We want to be seen as great persons because I created an app that's selling in the app store and I'm making millions of dollars. But all of that is resting on the foundation of the hard work of so many engineers and technicians that went before you. So we don't have such mentality, or we shouldn't have such mentality. Whatever we are presenting to the public is what we have gotten from our predecessor acharyas, and we should acknowledge that. Again, it's not that I'm preaching. Prabhupada said that once. One devotee was saying, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when I preach, and Prabhupada, what do you mean when you preach? I'm preaching. And you're assisting me. So that's always the mentality of the devotee. We are being trained to be good assistants. That's it. Not looking for any glory. And Prabhupada said, what am I presenting to you? I'm presenting exactly what Krishna said. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama. He said, well, don't get mad at me. Krishna is the one that said that. Who doesn't surrender to me? Duskrita. Kriti means merit. Dushkriti means somebody who's doing things that are not meritorious. Mudha, rascal. Prabhupada said, I'm not calling you rascal. Krishna's calling you rascal. Why? Because you're not surrendering to him. So this is our proposition. We are presenting what we've gotten from our spiritual master, we got from his spiritual master. Vidura is asking Maitreya. Maitreya is presenting what he got from his spiritual master. Like that. And that way we're safe. No speculation. As Prabhupada said, the last sentence of the purport, such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teacher, are a program for wasting time. So that's the worst thing one can do in life, is to waste time. Because we don't know how much time we have. Last class I gave, we were speaking about our god sister Omkara, who was actually younger. Sura was older by a year. Almost. Yeah. No, a little less than a year. I'm born 52 October, he was born 51 I forget which month, but a little earlier. So, not exactly a year older. But already gone. Omkar's gone. And we will all go. This is the point. So don't waste even a moment. Prabhupada many times recited that you cannot buy back one moment of time for all the gold in the world. You cannot buy back one moment of wasted time. So he said, how valuable is one moment? He said, at least do something that will give you material gain. If you're not ready to do spiritual activities, at least do something that will give you material gain. Don't waste the time doing nothing or doing something that will drag you down. Use your time properly. Use your time intelligently. And the best use of time, best use of every moment, smartavya Vishnu. Always remember Krishna. Every moment. Don't forget Krishna, even for a second. That's the best use. Now, how to do that? Doesn't mean that we blindly walk around Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. No, you see everything in relation to Krishna. So Vidura is seeing my tray in relation to Krishna. Somebody who can give me Krishna conscious answers to my questions. And then whatever he learns, he will pass on. Specifically, he tried to educate his older brother Dhritarashtra, because he was not only materially blind, he was spiritually blind. So that's how we make progress. Use every moment in some kind of spiritual endeavor. Prabhupada said, don't talk nonsense, don't waste time. If you have time, in other words, some moment you can't, nothing to, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So our Surah Prabhu, I'm going to turn it over to Subhas now. He's going to conduct the remembrances. But Surah, I noted because I've known him for, we were neighbors for the last 26 years and I knew him before that, didn't waste time. It was not a time waster. He was always engaged in something. Some BBT service or TBB service, his temple bhajan band, recording, traveling, speaking. He liked to speak on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. I once asked him a long, long time ago, Suraji, you give good classes. What's your formula? He said, you want to know my formula? Jokes, shlokas, and quotes. So you have to engage your audience. It's not that we're speaking down. No, you have to engage the audience. Bring them in. And the best way is to tell something a little funny. And he knows that from being a Sankirtan devotee for a very long time. If you can get the person, the prospect, to just laugh, then you have them. Then they'll take whatever you're giving them. And Prabhupada didn't disapprove once he was up in his quarters right here. And he heard all this laughter coming from the temple room. So he asked one of his servants, what's going on? He said, Rinana Mart is giving class. I said, oh, okay. He said, it takes intelligence to be humorous. So Prabhupada didn't disapprove of telling jokes while you're giving class. But don't go too far. Don't take it off the subject. But Prabhupada himself, you see, if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, he always found at least one or two things to say that made the devotees laugh. So. Anyway, we'll stop here, and now at this, from going forward, Subhas is going to take over. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Suraji Prabhu Ki Jai. So, yes, Suradas. Yeah, I'll just try to give a little bit of history, and then other devotees can speak also. We'll probably be doing this for a few years. I don't want to say everything I know about in 1 minute. So, anyway, just a little history for Suradas. He did meet the devotees in Portland, Oregon area, and became attracted to Krishna consciousness. He joined with his girlfriend eventually in San Francisco, and that didn't turn out, so they ended up going up to Seattle because they had facilities there for householders, whereas in San Francisco there was no facility. So he moved up there. This was about like 1973. And he was living there, and all of a sudden he got involved in book distribution, especially traveling Sankirtan. I think it was kind of unique too, because really in 1973 till 1975 is when the major amount of devotees joined the Krishna conscious movement that were involved in book distribution in a very big way, with Chipparari Maharaj in those days leading the pack. And there was different devotees that were joining all around the country, like Pragosh was in Hawaii, myself, we were in Denver, Sir was in Seattle. All of a sudden, devotees were joining in Atlanta, Chicago. And so all of a sudden, there was this network created of devotees joining in different centers around America that were exclusively involved in book distribution. And how to explain that, I don't know. It was just a very magical time. That's all I can say, very magical. Bhrigupati was involved. It's hard to say how or what happened, but anyway, it did happen. And I remember meeting Suradas in Denver in 1974. He was a traveling Sankirtan, and he came to Denver, and at that time, Denver had maybe about a dozen devotees. It was a one-building temple. There was about 12 of us. There was eight or something like that. And then when I joined with my two brothers, it was up to 11. We were a big crew. We uplifted considerably. So all of a sudden, there was 11 of us. But somehow or other, we became attracted to distributing Prabhupada's books. Sura came through the temple, and it's kind of funny, but it has a flavor to it in terms of how we connected. And that was that as soon as he came, even though we didn't know each other, practically didn't even know each other's name, somehow or other we connected, Katma, Sura, and I. And in those days, the temple was very small. There was a book room. And my Nakatma and myself, we slept in the book room where the books were stored. And so we had a little closet there. It was a little closet about, oh, I don't know, 6 feet wide, maybe 6 by 6, little closet. That was our office, our Sankirtan office. So we brought Suradas in there, and we started having this amazing, unusual kind of conversation about taking over the world by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And we sat there for hours, I think it was the whole day into the evening, just discussing book distribution. And we became very fast friends, very tight friends in Krishna consciousness. And from that point on, I would meet Suradas in different parts of the country. He'd be traveling. I was traveling in Sankirtan with my brother Nakatma and Vyapi. We bought an old Ford van, a one-ton van, and we lived in it and traveled and distributed books in different places. A lot of times we were right behind Sura. And Sura Das, he was kind of intense because he wouldn't stop distributing books unless the cops came and handcuffed him practically. Because if they just kicked him out, he was back there again in 2 hours. So they had to cuff him and get him out of there. That was his determination, was the main point. He was that determined. And so we would come into the same place, and we would last for about 3 minutes. As soon as they saw our van, they knew who we were. And so we got kicked out immediately. So we followed him around the country like that. It was pretty funny. I think the main issue is that with Suradas is that he was a sincere preacher for Srila Prabhupada's movement. He dedicated his life to it. He didn't know anything else. And my relationship with him was such that we spoke nothing but Srila Prabhupada and book distribution throughout the whole course of the years I knew him from 1974 up to his departure last year. Eventually, Suradas, book distribution and traveling Sankirtan became a little bit difficult, a lot of competition, so many things were going on. So eventually he became a temple president in St. Louis, a small temple. And so there would be this thing where I became the temple president of Denver. And so there was a competition between us. It was a good competition. It was kind of sweet. And we would, you know, really go out there and distribute just tons of books. Like Denver was just a small little place, but we would distribute just tons, and so would he. He would do everything in the book to be able to give something to Prabhupada's BBT. One devotee joined, and his father, this boy's father, owned a Christmas tree ranch where they would grow Christmas trees, and they would cut them down every year. And then I remember him calling me up. He said, "I've got you now, Savas." He said, "This is it. You're finished." So he had this young man. His father gave him a section, and he cut the trees down. So he gave all the money to Prabhupada's BBT. So we had that kind of competition. If he won, Titty and I had to fly out to St. Louis. And you know, we had to stay there for a couple of days and have a nice party. But he wasn't a very good cook. He was a lousy cook. And he didn't have too many cooks there. So we had to win purposefully so that he'd have to come to Denver. And you know, he'd have to, and Tariq would cook for us. It was very, very amazing. Great pastime, because Tariq would cook these unbelievable dishes. And we would sit there and just eat like anything. We were a little bit younger then. And we could eat quite a bit. So Tariq would cook these preparations that were just intoxicating. And we'd be rolling on the ground. Not on the ground, but on the floor in our apartment. We had a little house. So we would go on like that for hours and hours and hours. And it was such a wonderful experience with Suradas. Yeah, wasn't that great? We had just the most amazing exchange. And what was really ecstatic was that it was really about spreading the Krishna conscious movement. That was really what our goal was. We were teeny little specks, but we thought really big. We couldn't think small, even though it was only so few of us, but still, it was so magnanimous. It was so huge. And that was the mood in those days. And Sura was a good representative of that particular era and time of the Krishna conscious movement. And he became very well known for his book distribution. In those days, we wore wigs in the airport. And a few times that I went out to the airport with Suradas, he looked like a mess. I mean, he was a mess. I mean, Suradas wasn't the most unique dresser. And so when he would go out to the airport, his wig would be on crooked. You know, and people would look at him while he's talking to him. Because we'd sit and just kind of stand there and watch Sura and just laugh constantly. But his wig on his head was crooked. It was on some side. And sometimes he'd take his hand and scratch it under his wig while he was talking to somebody. And they would just look at him and go, what's going on here? But what was really incredible is that the people loved him. You know, when he approached them, they actually loved him. He was so congenial and so, you know, nice that they really got. They laughed with him. They actually had a good time. They were very inspired by his association, and they took his book that he was giving them, and they gave him donations, and he became a very powerful book distributor, very big, huge. He could do huge. We were distributed in the Atlanta airport with Suradas. And at that time, we were living in Atlanta. And I was the Sankirtan leader there. And Sura came with a party. So we were distributed in the Atlanta airport. And what we would do on Fridays, we'd go to the airport at 5:30 in the morning, right after Mangal Arti. And we'd run down and, you know, Tadit would have our stuff ready for us. And we hopped into a milk van, a used milk van. And there we had stacked up books in the milk van. And we wouldn't come home until we tried to finish that whole milk van full of books. So we would stay out at the airport. We'd get there around 6:30. And then we would stay all the way to the next day, till about 2 o'clock the next day. It was a good, you know, 14, 16 hours of book distribution. And we'd go home on Saturday morning, we'd leave Friday morning, come back home Saturday morning at 2 a.m. We'd sleep for 4 or 5 hours, get up, and be out at the airport by 10 o'clock in the morning to hit the next big wave of devotees that were going to be, of people coming in, soldiers. So this was the mood in those particular days. And Suradas Prabhu was a really big catalyst in terms of really helping push on Srila Prabhupada's movement. There's no doubt to me that he has a special place in Prabhupada's feet. Very special. I know Suradas, he's a little bit tough to deal with occasionally. he could be challenging. But his service attitude and his surrender to Prabhupada was unparalleled in all respects. And as you know, Archie Prabhu was mentioning, I came to L.A. in 86 with Tadit, and Sura was not too far behind us. I think like in 88, something like that. And he joined the BBT, and I was temple president. And then from there, of course, I'm working with the BBT now with him for many years. So the relationship in Krishna consciousness is very important. It's very lasting if it's based on the principle of spreading Krishna consciousness. And I think Sura was a good example of that in terms of you know, my life with him and Tadit's life with him. It lasted all those particular years because of that principle. The ground is Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. And that's lifelong relationships. That can be a lifelong interaction.
Life after life,
probably. It's true. Probably life after life. And it's very meaningful because the purpose is for eternality. It wasn't a temporary kind of relationship. It wasn't based on just some money-making or fame or distinction, adoration. It was based on the ground or principle of spreading Krishna consciousness and giving your life. And I can say that he gave his life to Prabhupada's movement. And it was very, it was glorious. Let's put it that way. It is very glorious. So if you're staying in Krishna consciousness now today, I would encourage you to develop a sincere, close relationship with a devotee and make that relationship your life and soul based on Krishna consciousness and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Because that, it's so glorious and so heartfelt and so much depth that it's hard to describe. But you can see that it's eternal. And by Prabhupada's grace, it happened that way with Suradas. So I think we're going to be doing this for a while, so I don't want to say everything. There's a lot of stories with Suradas, but we'll leave it at that just to set the groundwork. So anyone else?
Can you hold up a couple of
questions? Yeah. Anybody else would like to say something?
Okay, I'll say a few details. You gave the broad outlines and the themes. I was wondering this morning, where is that soul we knew as Sura today? And I think one place to look might be Japan. Because he told me many, many times during his last few years that his big desire was to go preach in Japan. So maybe some soul has taken birth there. But he was always, always absorbed in plans for preaching, what to speak of preaching itself. And another thing, probably this says more about me than about him, but he was a great mimic. You know, he could have you on the floor rolling in laughter when, you know, he could imitate the voices of certain prominent devotees like, well, I'll just mention it, Rameshwar Prabhu, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Hridayananda Maharaj, could mimic them perfectly. And I think that's a devotional art. Yeah. And he would actually go to the, he'd be invited especially to the Vyasa Puja ceremonies of some of these devotees like Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And even his, so it wasn't done in any mean spirit. It was done in a, you know, as a kind of compliment, and even disciples of these personalities sometimes appreciated it. So those are a couple of observations, just little glimpses of his personality.
Bhrigupati Prabhu.
I first met Suradas in 1976 when I was on Radha Damodar, one of the buses, and I was on Sanjaya's van party, and Sura came as a consultant, more or less. He was an airport distributor. He had some sort of a fallout with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and as a result, he got shipped out to, as punishment, he had to travel with us and do the parking lots for a while. So anyway, he showed up one day, and he was, you know, the consultant on the, our party. And as Suhas pointed out, he could be, you know, quite an authority figure. And he was, and I was kind of whimsical. So anyway, he kind of really put a lot of pressure on me, but it, I have to admit, it really helped me, because we were in West Virginia, Bluefield, West Virginia. And this one particular week, you know, I guess Sir was really riding me, and I just decided, okay, I'm going to show these guys, particularly Sir. You know. So I got out there, and I was doing Sankirtan, and I just started handing people sticks of incense and telling them, they say, well, what is it? It's 1976, it's Bluefield, West Virginia. I said, it's a bug chaser. It helps to keep them away. And I had three huge days, you know, like 350, 450, 300. Anyway, so Sura was really, when I came back to the van, he said, so, you know, how much did you do? I said, well, he said, really? You know, he was so happy, you know, he's really, you know, he wasn't my enemy. He was just trying to, you know, encourage me to be serious. And when I got serious and started doing the service seriously, he was very pleased with the result. So we would always, you know, remember that, like from time to time, I would tell him, hey, this is the 25th anniversary of the bug chasers, or, you know, I'd always remind him of that weekend in Bluefield, West Virginia. And then right after that, he took us to see Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada, the next weekend, was there in New Vrindavan. Then the next thing I remember about Sura was when they had the first Rath Yatra in New York, they had the carts down at 59th and, I guess it was 59th and 5th, you know, right by Central Park, just at the south end of Central Park. So the carts were there well before the parade. Maybe they were there overnight. I can't remember. Anyway, Sura got down there real early the next morning, and because there's a lot of people just congregating, you know, just around the chariots, just kind of, what's going, you know, what this is like. You know, you don't see chariots in the middle of Midtown Manhattan every day. So there's a lot of people there just kind of like, what's this all about, you know? So Sura capitalized on that. He went down there, and he distributed 75 hardback books at double the BBT in about an hour and a half. And I remember, you know, the word was out. That was the talk from among all the devotees. Hey, did you hear what Sura did? You know, because nobody else, he just took that initiative by himself. He went right down there before anything started happening, got all those books out in a very short time at double the BBT. So that was a big achievement. And then when I came here, Sura was very helpful, helping me get back into Sankirtan. I started out as the bhakta leader, but when I saw how fired up everybody was about book distribution, we had like about 13 devotees, 12 or 13 devotees going out every day to the airport. It was kind of hard for me to stay doing that. So Sura was the one who talked Suhas into giving me a chance to become a full-time distributor and et cetera. So I'm very grateful. And from time to time, if I, you know, started feeling a little bit discouraged or something, I'd always go to Sura, and he would always kind of encourage me again and get me back up on, you know, back on track. So I'm very grateful to him for that. Sarah Prabhu Ki Jai.
Tiri, you want to say anything?
Sir always had a humor, even when he told a story about Srila Prabhupada. And I remember the one story he told that everyone else had left, and he was fanning Prabhupada in his quarters while Prabhupada was sleeping. And he's watching Prabhupada sleep, and he's thinking, but it says the spiritual master never sleeps. And he was kept fanning, and he kept thinking over and over, but it looks like Prabhupada's sleeping. Prabhupada sat up immediately and said, "What time is it?" And Sarah thought, "I have to just stop thinking and just do my service." So even he had a few stories about Srila Prabhupada. They were always humorous. And like Swas said, he was a book distribution man. And I think most of us, that's our memories with him. Yeah.
Suradas was a Lakshmi man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would always say that. He was Mr. Lakshmi. And his parents always thought he should be like an accountant or something.
Banker.
A what?
Banker.
A banker, that's what it was, banker. And it's so true. So he was a Lakshmi man. Anywhere there was Lakshmi, he would find it. You know, and a lot of times in the airport, a guy said, "I ain't got no Lakshmi." And Sir said, "No, take a look. Take a look in here." And they would go, "What do you mean?" "Take a look in your pocket." And so sometimes it was really embarrassing for them because they put their hand in their pocket and they came out with money. And Sir said, "Hey, you can give her a book." The thing about Sir was that he was never a cheater. He was the most honest man that I met. Completely honest. Everything for Prabhupada and Krishna. Everything. He would sell things just to give it to Krishna. You know, people can't figure, "Well, why are you doing this?" Gotta give it to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And so, very honest, incredibly straightforward and honest in his dealings in terms of when it came to Lakshmi, because everything went to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada. And that was his motto, no matter what. And so he set the standard in terms of his own life based on that. Check that out. Yeah. Sergi. Anyone else like to say? Ekaraj, you want to say something? Tarit's got the microphone.
Haribol. I first met Sir in 1995 when I got here. And, when I first came here, I was in the kitchen. And I was having a hard time there. You know, it just wasn't me, you know. And Sir was one of the guys who took me under his wings and got me started. Him and Savasru with the BBT and helping out. And, all I can really say is I miss him, you know. So many years together, he's like more of a father figure than my actual father. So, yeah. You know, it's like he was always nice to me. You never had a problem with him. I enjoyed every year we would go down and do inventory together. You know, it's every year that you know, around this time of the year, I think of him because it's like, "Hey, sir, it's time to go do inventory. When do you want to do it?" You know, and yeah. We would make a day out of it, you know, and I just missed that. So, you know, I just want to say thank you, sir, for everything, and I miss you. Jai.
Hi to both. Anyone else? Rakarani?
I just want to honor sir a little bit because you shouldn't miss an opportunity, you know, to honor a great devotee. And I can speak to sir's heart. He was a very soft-hearted guy. He had a gruff exterior, but his heart was very soft. And for new people, he used to just go out and bring people back. He brought more people back. Some of it was frightening, but some of them were good. And, you know, but he'd always try to make devotees, you know, even when people stopped doing that, he kept bringing people back. And when I was brand new, I didn't think I should stay, and I left, and Sir called me every day. He called me every day, and he told me, you have to come back. I'll give you 2 weeks, and then you have to come back. And I thought, I just hung on to him, because he had that way of just grabbing you and bring, you know, like some people don't have that, but he did. He could just grab you and make you know you belong. We want you here. And I came back. I was shocked, but I came back. And, you know, he used to do deity service. He used to dress the little deities. We forget about it. You know, he had so many things he could do. And he was a preacher, and he was, I will never forget him. He was really close. He'd come and sit in my office and just talk to me. And if I had a question, a philosophical question, he would know right away what to say and what Prabhupada said and when he said it. And that's very valuable when you're new, you know, to have someone direct you right to the Shastra all the time and not speculate. And I appreciate Sura, Miss Sura. Anyway, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Yeah, a few more minutes.
On that point about making devotees that Dr. Ani Mataji just mentioned. Sura, sometimes, you know, just in joking, you would say, you know, I brought so many devotees to this community, this one, that one, that one. And then I would also remind him, yeah, but you also brought that one. He said, really? I brought that person? You know, somebody who wasn't really acting properly. But Sura's mantra, you all have heard it, but I'll just remind you, for book distributors, everybody said, just remember, if they read one line, even just one word, soon they will be living in the temple, eating sabji with curd. So that was his motto. Just go out there, get them to just look at the book, touch the book, read one line, you'll make them devotees. And then, he was also a great musician, as we know, the leader of the Temple Bhajan Band, but he was also a songwriter. When 9/11 happened, remember, everybody remembers what happened, the plane slamming into Twin Towers and all that. Within 2 days, Sura said, you know, I wrote a little song about 9/11. I said, really? He said, you want to hear it? So he picked up his guitar. He said, Osama, you better tell your mama. You're going to see. No, Osama, you better tell your mama. She can watch your funeral on color TV. Osama, you don't look so well. The next plane that you're hijacked will be your one-way ticket to hell. That was just a few words from the song. But he was like that. He was very creative, very witty, very funny. And like I said, my neighbor for the last almost 3 decades, and just we miss him a lot. And last thing is that he was also a great father. His 2 children were his heart. He loved book distribution, he loved Prabhupada, but his 2 children were right up there, Nomi and Sita Priya. He would do anything for them. But he was also strict. Not that, you know, they did whatever they wanted. He was also very strict. And I think he did a good job. Nomi is now coming forward for initiation. And Sita Priya is doing very well. She's a special ed specialist, making lots of money teaching problem children. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Govinda Basa has something to say.
Hare Krishna. Sura Prabhu was a devotee that you could stand out among the crowd. He was always there, very funny, very smiling, very happy. I remember the first time I ever met him, I was taking prasadam at the Govindas. And he says, hey, Bhakti David, we need you for Sankirtan. We need you for book distribution every day. So I went out with him. I remember it was Christmas marathon, and we were doing books in LAX. And he was teaching me, you know, how to do book distribution. It was really nice to do book distribution with him. And then I remember one time, he wanted me to take him to some place. It was like a function in Venice Beach. And I was supposed to be the pujari there. And I went, we took me and him, and we went over there. And it was just like one Mayavadi impersonalist kind of guy. And we went there, and this guy was trying to teach like Mayavadi impersonalist to all his disciples. And then he said, well, this is Bhakti David, the pujari. And I was like the pujari. I had a picture of Prabhupada there. I was doing puja. And then Surya started doing chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And when he chanted the mantra, he got everybody there to chant. And he changed all those people there from like impersonalists to devotees. And then we started passing out books and got them to chant. And then another time, we went on book distribution. He was just a really funny and really nice guy. I really liked Sura a lot. And he he was really a really great devotee. Sir Prabhu Ki.
Okay, so we can stop here? Nomi just couldn't come and say anything. It was too much heartfelt. But he's in the kitchen cooking, and he heard everything we're saying here. So he's very appreciative of it, but it was a little bit too heavy for him. Okay? Surji Ki Jai. So now we can have some nice prasadam. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.